Certainly it's good to see each and everyone out here tonight. It's nice to have a crowd like this. It's, might have you grown since I missed a week, right? That's a good thing. Hey, God's answering prayers, right?
Amen.
Wasn't just the other day that I've been praying that our church would grow some, and so last Sunday I baptized 5, and that's one reason I wasn't here on Sunday night.
No, that's
I apologize for not being here, but I was sure having fun doing what I was doing. Because we need all we can get, and it was surely a great occasion for a man and his wife and their 2 sons, and then my granddaughter will baptize again. So it certainly was good to have. You don't every day that you see that happen, but it's just a great, great thing going on. I'm proud to be a part of it. Tonight, we're going to be studying from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And before we get started, I'll lay down just a little bit of background information. This is with Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. A little bit about him. He reigned 25 years. That story is told in 1 Kings chapter 22 and 41 through 50. He was very religious. He sought the Lord in all things. He inaugurated a system of public instruction, sending priests and Levites on regular circuits with the book of law to teach the people. He established courts of justice throughout the land, and he maintained a vast army and waxed exceedingly great. I think as we study tonight or read from the text here, you'll see why that he did that, why he waxed exceedingly great. We need more like him is all I can say. He was a good king, no doubt. And we'll get into the text a little bit. 2 Chronicles 20, let's start verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass that after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon with them other besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar and in Engedi. Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. First thing you see, great armies are gathered together against you. Where did he go? To the Lord. He put his trust in the Lord. He had fear. Fear is a good thing here, right? And it's fear is a good thing for us in many cases. You know, fear keeps us from doing some crazy things sometimes that might risk our life. Fear also keeps us from doing crazy things that risk our soul, don't it? So fear is a good thing in many ways. Sometimes fear is not a good thing when we're not trusting in the Lord. Because the devil, he likes to use that on us. He likes to keep us from accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish sometimes through fear too. So we need to make sure that we use that fear in the right way. You know, he'll tell us some lies and get us to not do what God wants us to do sometimes when we know that that's really what he has going on. But I like this. He sought the Lord. He proclaimed a fast, and not only him, but throughout all of Judah he did. That was his presence, him as a leader, him as being a good king over them. It says, "And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?" That's a good question there. He is the one. And he's asking this question to him. Are you not the one that rules over the kingdoms of the heathen? And who's like you? Can anybody withstand thee? Well, the question is no, nobody can. And they need that. Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Well, it's the same way today. When we get in a tight, we know who to go to, right? We know who we can trust in. We know who is our friend. We know who is on our side. If we're doing the things he said for us to, if we're children of his, then we know, don't we? And that they knew, that's what they were saying here, the same way. So it certainly is awesome to know that God is for us and with us. And I say it sometimes, and I'll say it again. Sometimes we might seem like we're the only one there doing it sometimes, but when we got the Lord, we have a majority. We have a winner every time. It doesn't matter if anybody else is willing to stand up for what's right, then we must stand up, and it's going to work out right, because that's the way God intended it to be.
Amen.
It says, "Now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not lead Israel in vain, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against the great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." Well, they've got it in, they've got the right perspective then, don't they? Yeah, they don't know what to do, and they don't know how to fight this battle, and they don't think they can stand up against this great ones, but their eyes are upon the Lord. Then that's a surefire winner. If we can keep our eyes upon the Lord and trust in Him and have faith in Him and know that He will deliver us in our time of need, and He is there for us, and He is the one, lest anyone forget, in our society for sure, behind the scenes pulling the strings. If you want to get down to it, this life is just like a big puppet show, because God is bringing about things that we can't see in the spiritual realm. And yes, He is Almighty God. He is in control. So we need to keep that in the perspective as we go about our life. He's the God who makes a way when there seems to be no way. That's the kind of God that we serve. It says, "And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children." Now look here. All of them stood before the Lord with their wives, their little ones, their children. It's showing that they were being led and they were unified in this same purpose before God. You know, that's what the problem with our society and with our country is today, right? They don't have the leaders leading, yeah, their little ones and their families and their children and their wife, right? That's what's wrong. That's how come we went askew and went wrong with the Lord. We need to be the right kind of examples, fathers, I'm talking to you, and men, and then women following, and make sure that our children are that way. That's why come the devil is making haste and tearing our families apart and destroying us morally and taking souls to hell. We'd be about doing these things wholeheartedly and be the ones to accomplish things, just like examples we see here. It'll still work. It says, "Then upon Hazazel and the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite, the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken, you all Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." You know, sometimes we go about life and we're doing things for God and it seems like we're getting all whooped up on and we don't understand why, and it's because we're trying to do it ourselves and the battle's not ours, but it's the Lord's.
That's right.
We need to put our trust in Him and let our faith be sure. We know where it's coming from and we know the right results will happen because we're doing what God said.
Amen.
See, that's His promises. It's a sure thing. See, we forget. We think it's on us. And I ain't saying that don't mean you don't have to do nothing. I'm saying that make sure that it ain't you taking it on yourself when it's not about you. It's really about God. We're just willing vessels. We're like that empty glass. Let God fill us up and let us accomplish what He has for us to accomplish. That's what I'm saying. And yes, it does require us to do things too. I don't want you to say, oh, well, that's the Lord's battle. I don't have to do nothing. Certainly not. That's not what I mean at all. Totally the contrary. Sit back and say, I did everything that you told me to do, that I know that is right. And then now then, Lord, it's your battle. You take it. And He will. You don't have to worry. It says, "Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliffs of Ziz, and they shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeru. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves and stand ye still." How about that? You don't need to fight. That's what He's telling them physically, specifically here. You just stand and be still there. "And see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord and worshiping the Lord. There is again, those alls again, ain't it? All of them. Jehoshaphat first being this leader, this king, he bowed his face to the ground. He wasn't afraid to humble himself before God. And then all the inhabitants of Jerusalem and Judah, they fell before the Lord and they worshiped it. What would happen in our country today if you could get the president to bow down before God Almighty and humble himself down and decide he's going to do what God's going to do? And this is a... This is just a situation, you know, it may not happen, but what if he did? And then what if all of the people did the same thing? What kind of change would you see happen in America today? Wow. It will be the awesomest thing you've ever seen in your life.
Amen.
Wouldn't it? You would truly see the salvation of the Lord in the same way today, wouldn't you? Let's make sure we do our part, okay? Let's make sure we don't let up on that. Let's make sure we have that kind of way about us. And we need to pray for those like I talked about in my prayer. We need to daily to pray for those who rule over. You know why? Because they're accountable to God. And they'll stand before God and be judged one day for what they did for Him or not, or against Him. And if they're not for Him, then they're against Him. And it's a sad thing that we're not uplifting them in prayer. Because I tell you what, if I was the president of this country, I'd need everyone in America praying for me. I'd want everybody praying for me because it's a huge responsibility. You know, whether you like him or not, that's nevertheless, it don't make any difference. You know, he needs our prayers and everyone that stands in that office and from there all the way down to the local governments need our prayers.
Amen.
To make the right decisions. Wisdom. From God, that's where wisdom comes from too. And knowledge and accomplish the right things. That's the only way that it can be. We're falling down on our jobs if we're not doing that, uplifting them each and every day. We need to be. It says, and the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose up early in the morning. They went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established, and believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed the singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, set ambushes against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. What happened here? You know, we're out there fighting our enemies and not winning part of the time. And why is that? Because, like I said, we hadn't realized that the battle belongs to the Lord, right? Because when the battle belongs to the Lord, you see what happened? He let the enemies destroy themselves, didn't he? He told them they wouldn't even have to fight, did he?
Yeah.
It's not up to you. It's not your battle. He just said, set yourselves stand ye still. Just stand there. That's what the Lord wants us to do now, too. He wants us to stand firmly on what we believe and what's right, and don't give in to the devil, and don't give in to the world, and don't give in to society, and don't let them dictate to us what's right and what's wrong. Go by God's Word. Live that life that God said is. That's what He wants. You know, many times it's like that anyways. Just in the natural realm and the laws that the Lord set up. People who's backbiting and two-faced and all that stuff, you know what? They end up destroying themselves. You give enough rope and they hang themselves anyway, right? And we need to make sure that we're not part of that though, right? And we're not make sure that we're not allowing other people to even think we're like that. We're supposed to be blameless before all men, right? We need to make sure that we're not like that. Because with Christians, we're supposed to have love in our heart. Because we know more about love than anyone does because the way the Lord loves us. And the way that He wanted us to love one another. You know, He told His disciples, they'll know that you're my disciples is how you love one another. That's the true mark of the people of the world that distinguishes different the Christians and the true disciples of the Lord is they have love in their heart. So we need to make sure that we always got that. Because God's love. If we know God, hey, we know love then, right? If we don't know love like we should, and we don't live love in our heart like we should, you know what? We don't know God either. And that's a sad testimony right there. And it should never be named among us as Christians. We should be the most loving, caring, kind-hearted people. The easiest to get along people there is. And I tell you what, lots of times it ain't. But it should be. See? You know, if I have love in my heart like I ought to, and you have love in your heart like you ought to, you know what? Nothing the devil can do to hinder our relationship, can it? Yeah, there'll be things happen, but you know what? We'll work it right out. Because I love you and you love me, right?
Amen.
We've been studying our lesson about love, so I may be mingled in our sermon here tonight. But the truth is, you know, love covers a multitude of sins.
Amen.
We need to have it in our hearts. We'll go on a little bit. It says, and when they begin, all right, 24. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. When God does it, it's right. Amen. There wasn't none getting away, right? That's how He does things. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoils of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off of for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were there 3 days and gathering the spoils, and it was so much. Wow. There was so much spoils here. They gathered them for 3 days and didn't get them. It said, and on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Berachah. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the valley of Berachah unto this day. 3 days carrying away the spoils. Have you ever heard, I don't think I remember a battle in the Bible that it took them that long to carry the spoils away, do you? No, but what was it? It was the perfect plan, wasn't it? The king and all his people bowed their faces to Him, humbled themselves to Him, trusted in Him, put their faith in Him, believed in Him, and were obedient to Him, then what happened? Just exactly what God had intended, right? No doubt about it. There was a time where God would not allow, and it alludes to that over here in the earlier parts of this passage, God would not allow these to be destroyed. He said the iniquity of them is not yet full. See, so there's a time when iniquity is full. And then this was the time for these people, right? Because God allowed them to be destroyed. Sometimes He allows the more evil, wicked people to bring about His judgment and His justice. You know, that sounds awful. You know, but that was one of the problems that Jonah had, right? Go over and preach to them at Nineveh, and they're more evil than we are. They're worse than us, right? And I know what kind of God you are, and if I go over and preach and then they repent, then I'll be mad, right? You won't pour out your wrath upon them. That's why He got on the boat and ended up in the belly of the whale, right? Exactly was. Because He knew what kind of God was. He knew if He went and preached, and he did. He went and He preached, and He proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth and ashes on Him and all the beasts there, as a matter of fact. That's it. That's the whole thing. If people will humble themselves to God, and we as the Lord's people, the body of Christ, that's what we need to be doing. Our congregations will be growing too. Because right now is the time. There's a need. There are people needing right now. There are people needing something that's more than all these physical things that's around them. There are hard times on right now. Money's tight. People need help. We as the church have an opportunity right here to accomplish greater works than probably we've ever seen right now. Because people are wanting something to cling to that'll carry them through forever. And the Lord's the only thing that will. All your money and your big bank account and riches and who you are in this society and what kind of house you got and what you drive and what kind of clothes you put on. It ain't going to matter one day. Naked we came in, naked we going out. It's going to matter if you know the Lord, if He's your Savior, if He's your Master, if He's your King. You've lived your life that way. That's what's going to matter. That's going to be the all big questions right there one day when we stand before God and we don't know none of us when that's going to be. Right? That's the tricky part about it. All these people say, oh, well, I'm going to get ready. I'm going to get ready before I die. Well, I got a little problem with that. Because you don't know when you're going to die.
Amen.
And the only sure way to make sure is make sure it's right now and keep it right. And then you don't have to worry. That's the only way to beat that one. Know that. Let's go on a little bit more. It said, on the fourth day, they sent themselves. I already read that. Okay. They returned to every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat to the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets and with all unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdom of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. And the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. Look at this. Not only was God's plan perfect in this, but also then they were happy. They were rejoicing over their enemies. They had joy here in their hearts because they did what God wanted. He accomplished his will. And not only that, then fear came upon all the kingdoms around when they had heard how God went out there against their enemies and destroyed them, right? And then they didn't want to bother Jehoshaphat anymore and made it quiet for him, right? See, it's because he did exactly what God wanted to do, right? He led his people, right? His people followed him and did what was right too, right? There's not a problem with that. There never is. You know, people want to be led, and they want to do the right things, and they want to go to the right place. Well, you got to have the leaders leading in the right place and telling you what God's Word says right here. Not my opinion, not church doctrine, not traditions of men, but from the God Almighty's breath right here. The inspired Word of God. And then people should want to follow God's Word and God's people and God's leaders and do those things. And you know what? It'll be another perfect situation just like happened right here, wouldn't it? You can't go wrong. You know, we sat there talking last night, this boy and me, we were talking about things, and I can't remember exactly how it came up, but people, we was talking about, I guess, how the devil lies and tells people lies, and people say things that's contrary to God's Word. And I said, yeah, but how does it line up with what God says? That's our surefire measure. People say things and they'll say, oh, well, God told me this or whatever. But how does it line up with His Word? God can't lie. Can't. No. If He is, we're all wasting this, right? We're all dead in our sins, right? That's what Paul said. Ain't it? Christ is not crucified. We're dead in our sins. If this Word ain't true, if we can't trust in that, then we're all going to hell anyway, right? So we can trust in this. And this is the absolute truth. And God gave it to us so we'd have the measure and the standard so we can know. When somebody tells me something like this, I'll think, what? Wait a minute, what does God's Word say? Well, that can't be true then, ain't it? Well, who told you that then? The devil did. It's a lie then, right? Not being ugly. Don't mean it, don't intend it that way. But any time that something don't line up with God's Word, it's not the truth. That's, I'm glad and I'm thankful that we have what we have so we can know. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Chronicles. Chapter 34, we're going to read a little bit more there. Starting in verse 21 of 2 Chronicles chapter 34. It says, go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us. Before our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. And in Hilkiah, and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shalom, the son of Tikva, the son of Hasra, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they spake to her to that effect. And she answered them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell ye the man that sent you to me. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath is poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. And as for the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of me, so shall you say unto him, thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard. Because thy heart was tender, and thou did humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests, and the Levites, and all the people, great and small. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimony and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul and to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. For he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God and the God of their fathers. And Josiah took all the abominations out of all the countries that pertain to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And in all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. That's the key. We need to be the same way about the Bible today. This covenant that we have with our Lord and Savior, this New Testament, this new covenant that we have with Him, we need to decide that we're going to follow Him by keeping all His commandments, all His statutes, with all our heart and with all our souls to perform all these words that are written in this book. And you'll see a change. And you'll see people grow in the Lord. And you'll see people be brought to the Lord. And you'll see the kingdom of God spread. And you'll see many numbers of people getting to go to heaven because of it. You know, we read in the Bible on the day of Pentecost that 3,000 souls were added to the church there. Don't we?
Amen.
You know, that's not something that's out of question even today. If we'll get out and do the work that God has for us to do, it'll be accomplished today. Because people want something that they can cling to, that they can trust in. Especially in a time of need, you know. I bring it up sometimes and have before you. September 11th, if you just put your trust in man or physical things or America or whatever, did it falter? Guarantee you that it did. When you see things go on like you've seen then, it caused a lot of people to think, am I putting my trust in the right things? Well, that's the question we need to be asking today. When we see maybe our country going down the tubes because of immorality and us turning away from God, not doing the right things, and when we see our economy going in the dirt, and oh boy, you hit me in my pocketbook now. That's a hurting. Okay? The truth of the matter is if you're going to put your trust in that, you're going to be disappointed. If you put your trust in God, all these physical things is going to be less important to you. And you're going to put yourself into the works of the things that's the most important. You know? And that's exactly what we need to be about. This is my message for you here tonight. If you're here and you're not a child of God, you'd like to become a child of God, I'm sure that we can do the arrangements, whatever needs to happen to get that accomplished. If you're here and you just like our prayers for you and with you, come as we sing along. The song's been selected.
Softly and tenderly.